Hi, Christchurch. Welcome to our online service. We're so happy you're here. Thank you so much for your generosity. Because of you, we're able to use this technology to stream online. And hundreds and thousands of people across our country are able to watch our service because of that. Hundreds of people have dedicated their lives to Christ throughout the past couple months because of these online services. And that's because of you. Thank you so, so much. There are two ways to give. The first one is at our Christchurch Ohio website, and the second one is our Christchurch Ohio app. If you want to connect with us and you haven't filled out a connection card yet, there's a tab on your screen that is a connection card tab. You can go ahead and fill that out. And also, if you like what you're seeing, if you like this service, share it. Share it on Facebook. Share it to your family and your friends. We'd love to keep reaching more people. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the service.
Morning, everyone who is watching online. Welcome to our worship experience. We have here our Old Brooklyn family. What's going on, Old Brooklyn? And also we have here our West Campus family as well. For those who don't know who I am, who this crazy guy up here, my name is Jovan. I'm the pastor here at Christ Church, and I have the privilege and the honor to be able to present a message to you that I believe can be very beneficial to you and to I and to all who are watching. So we're super excited. Welcome to our worship experience. Our pastor, Katie, asked me to come up here to deliver a message, and I'm encouraged that this message can really encourage your heart, because that's what God is after, our hearts. Nothing else but our hearts, because if our hearts change, everything else would change after that. And today, I want to start, or I want to talk about thriving in uncertainty, or thriving through uncertainty, because let's just be honest, life is painful. Heck, for the last several months, for a lot of you, and I can maybe speak for just maybe myself, for a lot of us, life has just been really hard, full of pain, not knowing what to do. And uncertainty seems to pop up at the door. I remember one guy told me that pain seems to have a key to our house. Pain seems to have a key to our house, and it always somehow makes its way in. And so today I want to talk about thriving in those uncertain moments. And so we're going to be working through this passage, because we believe here that the power and the instruction and what we need to do is found in God's perfect word. We're going to be working our way through how we can learn and to grow and to depend on God by looking at what he says. If you have your Bibles with you, hopefully you got your Bibles with you. You know, not only have your coffee, but also got your Bible. Bring out your Bibles, even if it's on your phone. I'll accept that, only if it's an iPhone. But anyway, bring out your Bible. I want you to turn with me to James chapter 1. James is all the way towards the back in the New Testament. It's actually really towards the end. I want you to turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I'm going to read this to you, and this is going to be what we're going to talk about for the next 2 hours. No, I'm joking. For the next 20 to 25 minutes with one another. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. How can we thrive in uncertainty? Because it is possible to do that. James says it like this. Consider it great joy, my brothers and my sisters, whenever you experience various trials. Now, that sounds weird. That don't make no sense. James says, have joy when life sucks. Can I say suck? Can I say suck, guys? Is that okay? He says, have joy, or find the joy, when life seems to be painful. The trials that we go through. And not only does he say trials, but the various trials. Because we all got different trials, am I right? There are different trials, like there are different drinks at Starbucks. Can I get an amen? I mean, there are various trials. But he says, no matter what the pain meter that you're on, he says, find joy. He talks about the response that we are to have when uncertainty comes. And then he talks about the reason as well. And I want to talk about both the response and uncertainty and the reason for the response and uncertainty. Look at verse 3 and 4. He says it like this. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Or maybe some of your translations may say steadfastness or patience. It all means the same thing. We're going to break that down in just a little bit. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let the endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature, complete, lacking nothing. In a nutshell, this is what I want to talk about today. If you don't get anything out of today's message, maybe just here out of curiosity, maybe just here for entertainment, whatever it may be, I want you to write this down. Remember, those who take down notes go to heaven. It's in the Bible. I'm going to look for it. I ain't got time. Anyway, I want you to understand this. When we understand God's design for our pain, we will respond different. That's very simple, but very profound. When we understand, when we have the knowledge of God's design for our pain, then we will learn how to respond different. So today, I want to learn how we can and grow in the way of how to respond different when we face painful moments. All jokes aside, man, life has just been very hard for a lot of us. And James, he's writing to a group of people that are just like you and I. How can a letter 2,000 years earlier, how can a letter 2,000 years ago still have the same relevance to us today? He's writing to a group of people that have lost something. They lost their families, finances. They lost something. And typically your pain is connected because you lost something. So how can we do that today? Well, James is going to help us through that. Let me say a prayer before I begin. Father, thank you for this message. You are the one who wants to speak to us. So I ask right now that you would speak to us. There is your son and your daughter who are watching through this screen who need to hear your word, who need to hear your voice. I pray that you would just continue to encourage them. I pray that you would just inspire them and they would have a boldness of faith in the message that you speak. I love you, God, and I'm thankful for you. In Jesus' perfect name is who I pray. Amen. So, hey, I want to tell you a quick story. Growing up, when I was in high school, one of my favorite parts of the day when they were during school, one of my favorite parts of the day was gym. Now, of course, I'm an athlete. That's the reason why. But anyway, I love gym. One of the reasons was because my gym teacher, we always played dodgeball. I love dodgeball just as much as I love chocolate and Jesus, but just as much as I love chocolate and my wife. I mean, I love dodgeball. And I love the meaning of dodgeball. Like, as a matter of fact, the definition is in the title, dodge the ball. Like, of course, you know, the goal is, of you know, take the ball and, you know, throw it at the person and get them out. Believe me, I took a lot of pleasure throwing the ball at people and watching the glasses fall off, the hats fall off, all of that. But anyway, saved by grace. I love dodgeball because I had the chance to dodge the ball. I used to do crazy things. I used to jump in the air. I used to do a little matrix thing. I used to wow the crowd. They'd be like, oh my gosh, look at that. I used to do backflips because I saw the ball coming at me, so therefore I knew how to avoid it. What's interesting is I wish life was a lot like dodgeball. I wish you can see the hits coming so that you can do what? Dodge it. But we don't have that luxury. I know for sure during this COVID season, we for sure didn't have that luxury. I know a lot of us wish that we can see some of the pain come. I know for me, I wish that I can see some of those hard moments come and I can dodge them and get out of the way. But I've noticed this. We don't have that luxury. For a lot of you, you wish life was like that. You can avoid the hits because we are people that are invested in avoiding pain because we don't like pain. You're not the person putting your hand on the stove, right? Especially when it's hot. Before you cross the street, what do? You make sure you look to the left. You make sure you look to the right. By nature, we are people that avoid pain. Sometimes, again, we don't always have that when it comes to life. And again, I said it before, our pain, most of our pain, you know, the ones that keep you up all night, the ones that have your hand in your hands crying, the ones that leave you to the point where you're asked how and why, you know, typically that pain is connected because you and I have lost something. And I think that we lost was so valuable, whether it was a person, a thing, our jobs, our reputations, whatever it may be, you and I have encountered much loss. And we have to be careful how we process that pain. Because if you don't process it in the right way, it can lead to destructive habits. A lot of the reasons why we do the things that we do today is because of what we've gone through, because of what life has brought us. Because the hits that we couldn't avoid. But see, today, I want to, and in this passage, I believe we have the opportunity to see, we can't avoid pain, but we have the opportunity to see what God can do in our pain. So the goal of today is for us to get into a habit of responding to our pain, not by what's going on with us, but rather what God is going to do through us and in us, because when we connect to God's design, it encourages and influences our response. Because God has a design in our pain. Let's look at James one more time. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. I'm going to read the whole entire thing for you. James says this, consider it great joy. That's the response that he's going to get right into. Consider it great joy, my brothers and my sisters, whenever you experience various trials. Then he goes over the reason for the response. Because you know, or a clearer translation, it says, for you should take knowledge and understand that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let the endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature, complete, lacking nothing. When we understand the reason, it would definitely encourage our response. When we don't have clarity of why we're going through what we go through, well, then we're going to respond like the way we've been responding lately. Through chaos, through rushing around. I can't go to Giant Eagle without getting Clorox because everybody's freaking out because we don't understand the clarity. See, as Christians, you and I, we have to realize every moment, every scene we go through, God has already been in that scene. God created the scene. God knew the scene was going to happen before we stepped into it. So if we would just take the time and realize God is doing something in this, that's how we can find that joy. That's how we can find that joy, friends. Because I want you to understand this. Great pain can lead to even greater results. It's true. Don't look at the uncertainty as an obstacle. But with God, look at your uncertainty as an opportunity. Write that down. Look at your uncertainty as an opportunity for God to do something great in your heart, for God to do something great in your family, for God to do something great just in your life. God uses every scene to build his children every single time. That's what James is trying to get us to understand, because your response to the heart and the pain, your response today is going to dictate tomorrow's actions. Your response today dictates your actions for tomorrow. Let's break this down. James is going to start by helping us. Before we can respond, we have to be planted in the reason, right? Before we respond, we have to be planting in the reason. And he goes over the reason in verse 3-4. Let's go over it. He says, knowing the testing of your faith. I said it already. That means we become fully aware that God tests us in our lives. Now, for a lot of you, that can probably bother you, but let me help break that down. When we hear the word test, some of you can think that God is trying to hurt you. And I remember thinking that when I was a young kid. God is after to hurt me. God doesn't like me. Or because I did this when I was in college, God is punishing me. But God doesn't test you to hurt you. God tests you to grow you. Let me say that again. God doesn't test you to hurt you, but rather God tests you to grow you. It's not to burden his children, but to build his children so that you and I can grow closer to him and he can increase something in you. See, we think that pain and hurt and trials are meant to push us away from God. If anything, they're meant to push us into God's care, into God's love, into God's grace. And we fall right into his hands. And right then and there, we will see him as a loving father, as a good father, as a loving savior. Trials are not meant to push us away from God. They're meant to push us towards his loving care. Because God will test you. God will test you. God will put things in front of you, but they're not meant to hurt you. Because James' theme, if you take time to read the book, it's only 5 chapters. James' theme is this: God is after the growth of your faith. God is more invested in growing your faith. And the best way to grow your faith is when you're tested. The best way to grow your faith is when you lose your job. The best way to grow your faith is when you have to plan a funeral. The best way to grow your faith is when you don't know how you're going to pay this bill and you just got another bill in the mail and now you're trying to figure out. God grows you in those moments. Those moments aren't designed to hurt you. That's not what a good father does. Maybe your father did. Maybe your family did. But I want to tell you about my Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father puts things in front of me so it can grow me, build me, and I can have a firmer relationship with him, because God is after your faith. Write that down. God is after your faith. He wants to grow your faith, not to hurt you, because your faith shows itself genuine, authentic when you're tested. A pastor one time told me this: a life absent in hardship is a life where your faith and your character goes underdeveloped. That hit me to the core. And I said to myself, like, that is so consistent to what I read. A life that is absent in hardship is really a life where our faith and our character goes underdeveloped. So if you're in that pain, I want you to know God has you there for a reason. There's a reason for that season. There's a reason for that pain. And if we would just cling to that, like James says, it would produce something inside of us. Which means this: following Jesus doesn't mean your life is always going to be comfortable. I know I keep saying some things. Don't worry, Katie will be back next week. Maybe you won't like me today, but that's okay. Following Jesus doesn't mean that your life's going to be comfortable. Sure, God's going to always make sure you're secure. Sure, God's always going to make sure that you're sufficient. But that doesn't mean he's always going to make your life comfortable. Because you can't grow when you're comfortable. You can't grow when you're comfortable. If you value comfort over character, then the pain will paralyze you. Painful seasons are sometimes, if we just cling to it, painful seasons are the most powerful moments where we get to experience God. Oh, I love that. Our most painful experience, that's where we get to experience his faithfulness. Even when you're faithless, God remains to be faithful. It's where we get to experience this grace, because at the end of the day, I need grace. Not to be set free from my problems, but I need grace. And that's when I get to meet him in his presence. His presence. My best time that I spent with God is when I was going through the hardest moments of my life. When I was going through the moments like when my son was born premature. I don't know if you guys know the story. My wife actually went into preterm labor at 31 weeks. Typically, it takes, 40 weeks for the baby to come through, but 31 weeks is not a bad thing, but it's kind of a scary thing because the doctors would like it for your child to at least have a chance to get towards that 40 weeks. My wife went into preterm labor at 31. And I remember telling myself, why God? But I can tell you there, right here, right now, I've never felt him more when I was in the midst of that moment. I never heard God clear. I never heard God's voice. I'm not one of those weirdos on the television. But I can tell you right now, I felt his presence. And you know what he said to me? If I've taken care of you before, won't I do it again? I said, yes, God. But it took for me to be in that moment so I can experience his presence. I got to experience God's presence when I'm in those painful moments. James says it produces endurance. It's this idea of where, maybe your translation says steadfastness or patience. It's this idea where your capacity to remain and to stand and to be still and to wait on God. Because the one thing that we do when it comes to pain, like we do when we put our hand on a hot stove, we want it just to go away. We want it just to go away. But James says, God will build endurance in you. God will build endurance in you because when we experience pain, temptation comes after. The temptation to give up. The temptation to give up on God. Give up on family. Give up on yourself. We all face temptations when we're in the midst of the pain. And what happens is God will increase your endurance so that you can remain obedient to him, not to your temptations, to him. God will increase your endurance so that you can remain obedient to his will so that you won't fall victim of your temptations. So you won't fall into temptations. So we just won't give up. I love what James is saying here. James is saying, I need you to look at your trials. I need you to look at that pain. I need you to look at it more as a deposit rather than a withdrawal. I need you to look at your pain as a deposit, God putting something inside of you. But he will give you the endurance so you can remain. And that's why he says, that's why you got to let it have its full effect. You got to let God do what he needs to do. Because I'm the first person that says, God, take it away. God, get rid of it. Please. But that's why James says, let it have its full effect. Because it does these three things. It says, so that you can be mature, complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. See, here's the thing. God is like a potter. You and I are the clay. And what a potter does with the clay, for it to be in a certain position, for it to have its full sculpt, the potter has to put pressure on it. It's got to put the pressure on it. It's got to get out the impurities. It's got to do what it needs to do so we can have the look that it needs to have. And that's what God is doing to us, because God doesn't call you just to follow him. God calls you to be formed by him too. The potter wants to form you into the image of Jesus so you can respond like Jesus. It says, God, if not my will, but your will. God brings the pressure because he wants to sculpt you into this beautiful image of his son. See, friends, that's the reason why. That's the reason why pain happens. That's the reason why we're presented with those pains. But here's the real truth in all of this, because James doesn't just stop there. James says, now that you understand the reason, here's your response. With joy. Flip the attitude. Have joy. Listen, let your mind be led to the outcome, the gain. Don't be so focused. That's what this word consider. It says, taking consideration what God is going to do in the end. Don't be so focused on what's going on here in the middle, or what's in front of you. Now, what James is doing, he's not saying ignore your emotions. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible never tells you and I, God never instructs his children to ignore your emotions. You want to know the proof? Jesus had three friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. There was two sisters and a brother. The brother was sick. The two sisters sent word to Jesus. They go to Jesus. They said, hey, your friend, your Lazarus, the one whom you love, he's sick. Come help him. What does Jesus do? He actually stays where he's at for 4 days. And that sick brother dies. He dies. And Mary, the sister, walks up to Jesus and says, if you wouldn't have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It's kind of like how you and I do at times when we face pain. If God, if you would have just showed up, my marriage would be different. If you would have just showed up, I could probably still have my job. If you would have showed up, I wouldn't have lost my house. I wouldn't have lost my friends. I wouldn't have lost those things. And what does Jesus do? Pull up your big girl pants. No. The Bible says Jesus wept with her. See, God weeps when we weep. He mourns when his children mourn. He hurts when his children hurt. He hurts when his children hurt, which is why it's so important for us to understand what James is clearly trying to tell each and every one of us, not to ignore our emotions, but rather do not become consumed by the emotions. See, the problem is we camp in our emotions. We make our home in our emotions. We build the doors. We build the roof. And James says, I'm not telling you to ignore it. Just don't camp there. Don't camp in your anxiety. Don't camp in that worry. Don't camp in that anger. Rather, see it as just a place that you get to visit, but it's not where you make your home. It's not where you make your home. God wants you and I to understand that we can process our emotions, but we don't have to be controlled by our emotions. We don't have to be controlled by that anger. We don't have to be controlled by the anxiety. Process it. But just don't be controlled by it. Rather, he says, have joy. See, here's the thing. The outcome of what I'm going through is far greater than the pain that I experience. The outcome of what I'm going through is far greater than what I experience. And friends, that's the reason why we should have joy. He doesn't say happy, because here's the thing. It's hard to be happy when you're facing pain, right? But you can face pain and still have joy. You can face pain and still have a sense of delight. He says that I don't want you just to, I'm not saying enjoy what you're going through, but find joy in what will happen eventually to you and what you're in. Because joy is different than happiness. Sure, they're both a feelings in somewhat, but joy is more of a priority. What you make priority controls your joy. See, a lot of us can't control anything because our priorities are in the place that it is. What you make priority determines your joy. If approval is your priority, if people is your priority, then your joy is contingent and it's weighed upon what people say. If your status at your job or money, if that's your priority, then the way that your job goes controls your joy. But if Christ the living God, the one who saved your soul, if he is your priority, serving him, walking with him, then friends, that joy, Jesus says, nobody will be able to take it from you. Nobody will be able to take that from you. How encouraging is that? That's Jesus, God in heaven himself, said that to the disciples, and he says that to you and I today. Take delight in me. Abide in me. Find your joy in me. Joy is connected to the promise and the faithfulness of Christ. My joy is not dependent on circumstance, but rather it's what I make priority in my life. Because friends, I want you to understand this, and I'm going to close with this. God doesn't promise a trouble-free life, but he does promise a trouble-free heart. Say that again. God doesn't promise a trouble-free life. Look to Christ. Father, take it away. No. He doesn't promise us a trouble-free life, but he does promise us a trouble-free heart. See, friends, I want you to do three things for me today. In the midst of that pain, James has already given us a great way of the reason why we go through it and what we need to do in it. But now you have to make the decision. Are you just going to let pain control you? Or are you going to let God show you and reveal to you and grow you in the midst of that pain? We have to do three things. Number one, I want you to submit to God's will. Submit to God's will. Don't fight his ways. Don't fight his ways. Submit to what he wants to happen in your life. Because here's the thing. If God allows it, that means God's going to use it. Submit to it. Say, God, have your way in my life. Have your way in my family. Have your way in me. Number two, submit and accept pain. Right? Accept it. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be there for a very long time. Accept the pain, but what the pain brings about in you after. Don't resist what God wants to do in you. Accept that pain. But number three, the most important thing today, and I promise you I'm going to close. Number three, submit to Christ. Submit to Christ. Submit to him. Make him your joy of your life. One of my favorite passages is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. It says this, consider Jesus, or consider him, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. So, you see the word consider? You see the word endure? That's the same words that James uses too. Consider he who endured such hostility against sinners against himself, so that you and I may not grow weary. Look at that word it says, give up. Give up. When we cling to Christ, our pain becomes profitable. When we cling to Christ, our pain, it becomes profitable. Friends, don't ask God to get rid of it, but ask God to work through you when you're in it. Ask God to work through your heart when you're in those moments. So my prayer for you today is that you would understand the reason, therefore it can encourage your response. But you're the one who has to make the decision. You're the one who has to make the decision. You want to submit to what God wants? You want to submit to what pain does? And you're going to submit to what Christ has already done. Let me say a prayer. Father, it's a hard truth to accept hardship. It's a hard truth. But you understand that. You know that. You realize that. But help warm my heart to be open towards that. Because God, sometimes I try to fight you. Sometimes I try to get ahead of you. Sometimes I think I can do life better and do life different. But Lord, I've noticed when I get ahead of you, that's where I get lost. So right now I'm behind you. And I'm going to submit to your will. I'm going to submit to the pain that comes and accept it. But most importantly, while I do that, I'm going to submit to Christ. Would you work in my brothers and my sisters' hearts? Would you help us to cling towards more and more the reason for our pain and how we can respond because of the reason when we're in it? God, we can't do this life without you. We're figuring that out today. But with you, you will always show yourself faithful. So we love you and we thank you. In your son's perfect name, amen.
Within you, he is with you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the service. We'll see you next week.